mind. It was the results of the anatomy and physiology of the brain, and nothing more. That our thoughts, feelings, sensations, sense of consciousness, emotions, are all due to the chemical and electrical connections inside the brain.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis. Get ready, Portland. It's time for the UBU Hour on KBOO, Portland. Stay classy.
Welcome, gentlemen and ladies, to the Radio Theater Hour, July 4th, 2016, on your non-commercial radio airwaves, KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, the People's Radio.
Congratulations, listeners. You are in a corporate media-free wonderland, not dictated by the capitalist corporate media manipulation propaganda machine.
You are free and proud Americans about to listen to the finest that People's Radio KBOO brings you, one of our uniquely awesome radio theater offerings.
Tonight's radio theater lottery regrettably sticks you with the UBU Noxious Hour, so if you are easily offended, please listen elsewhere for less colorful entertainment.
Turn the fucking dial before you hear a cuss word.
Oh shit, you're not supposed to drop an F-bomb so early in the show. Okay, let's start the show. Cue music.
It is Independence Day, where we celebrate America. And hopefully everyone listening to this is as drunk and wasted and fucked up to celebrate this tired whore of a Statue of Liberty America with us.
America!
America.
Greatest fucking nation on earth! Democracy and freedom!
America! Land of guns and freedom!
As we celebrate America, you say!
Parades, soldiers, marching bands, America.
We are America! Mightiest power on earth!
Tonight, as we celebrate the 4th of July, earlier you heard the bombs going off. Maybe you can still hear them, the explosions and the pops for freedom and democracy.
America! War! Fireworks! Greatness!
Fireworks, bombs, gunshots. This is how we celebrate America, through symbols of violence and war.
Bring peace through war. Bring prosperity through greed. Bring freedom through fear.
Spreading democracy around the world with our vast military power. Hooray for America!
Hooray for America!
The red, white, and blue. Red for blood and blue for bruises. White for America, land of the fool and the home of the knave.
One nation fucked by God with a lip or three and just sick for all.
You say, you don't go in for breast beating and flag waving. Does the word patriot sound too much like patriarchy? Getting a blow job from an idiot?
The United States of America. What makes this nation great? Not our military strength, no. Being a bully and pumping your chest and flexing your robust military might and exclaiming how great you are does not make you great.
The rest of the world hates us and resents us for that bullshit, our arrogance, our stupidity, the stereotypical ugly America tourist, our hate and our compliance, our antiquated so-called democracy.
Tonight we celebrate America. I'm talking about this nation state, not the two continents, North and South. What other nation dominates their hemispheres to such an extent that the name of the hemisphere's two continents become the name of that nation?
The United States of America, a loose jumble of entities all roped together under one flag. A 240-year experiment that has not ended yet. A beacon of hope and a club fist of repression all over the world.
It's like a good cop and bad cop routine gone global.
Actually, you do have to make a fist to wrap your fingers around to grasp the beacon of hope and hold it up Hi.
This nation has greatness. The United States has things to be proud of. It's not our military, and it's not our tax cuts, and it's not anything that will be brought back by a narcissistic billionaire blowhard.
It's not the endless gun violence that makes us great.
It's not the politicians bribed by the NRA.
But look what this nation gave the world. Art, music, movies, Muhammad Ali and Dennis Berrigan, and John Coltrane and Patricia Highsmith, and the Marx Brothers.
Art, music, movies, popular culture, the melting pot culture in which this nation's vitality is forged. Jazz, rock, hip-hop, film noir, comic book heroes.
Charles Bukowski and the Art Ensemble of Chicago, and Samuel Fuller, who are all better known outside of this country. That's what makes this country great.
What makes America great? The dispossessed we've taken in, not the billionaires and hate mongers. The dispossessed and rootless who took root here and created a pop culture that has spread everywhere.
The Jews have fled fascist European hatred to create Hollywood, the greatest movie industry on earth, even if all they can come up with these days are sequels, TVquels, and comic book hero.
Rock and hip-hop, the most popular sounds around the world rooted in black culture. This is what makes America great, our diversity. The world loves this part of us. The world envies our culture, not our bombs.
A land built on a promise that anyone can make it if they try hard. Not a land where the rich get richer and everyone else gets shafted up the ass.
When did free speech become about how much money you have?
When did we stop caring about people and become so creepily obsessed with money?
Our culture, our arts, our mixing pot forgery of ideas and influences, this makes the U.S. us great. Not the bullets and bombs and drones. Not the hate.
This ugly racism at our core. Not the stupidity that blinds us to the suffering of others. Not the pettiness and greed of the corporate business leaders.
And one thing that certainly does not make this nation great is the millions of people out there with their Trump Made in China t-shirts and visor caps with Make America Great Again.
I'm sick of America pounding its chest like King Kong and America bashing its head in a frantic bout of doom and gloom.
I'm sick of the election that never ends.
What is the point? The fix was in. They should just stick the two presidential nominees into a reality television show to decide which one gets the next 4 years.
Oh, that wouldn't be fair. One is a serial reality show abuser and a bully, and the other is a brittle, dull politician with a long trail of scandals and cover-ups.
And she also has enemies. Enemies who wasted $70 million of taxpayer money to reveal that her husband got a blowjob.
That might be the most expensive blowjob in the world. The closest he got to the genitals was the mouth end of a cigar.
So this is what we do. The nominees, Trump and Clinton, fuck having debates. We throw them into a reality show together.
What about all the other people who are running? All those third-party candidates like Jill Stein, the Libertarian Party, the Constipational Party?
Think of the ratings. A bunch of presidential candidates stuck in a house together, or stuck on an island. Harry and Donald flinging barbs at each other.
It would be a better way than what we have now. Voting for these two pathetic train wrecks while the media totally ignores the fact that the whole system is rigged.
It's all just a dog and pony show. That's all America is. A huckster's dream, and the greatest huckster of them all is about to make that dream a reality. It will be like the whole nation is living in a reality show.
Once you are living inside the reality show like us, and then soon we get everyone living inside the reality show. Everyone who will make America great again.
Like I said, we get everyone into the reality show, and then we end this world. And we all live in the reality show. That's what this man is bringing us. The entire world sucked into a Trump reality show.
Don't you see, people? This is how we can change the world. If we all believe in this one reality show, then this reality show becomes what's real.
This is what the whole Trump revolution is about. Imagine a world where there's vast dozens of billions of dollars to build and maintain the greatest wall on Earth, longer and longer than the greatest wall of China.
Did the Great Wall of China work? No. The empire that built it is long gone. And one day, someone is going to look back at the ruins of ancient America and ask himself, why? What did they fear? Why did they build this?
Okay, enough of that. This is getting tiresome. Let's run some real radio theater.
And now, our feature presentation.
The triangle stiffened as the canvas filled with wind. Beneath the triangular sails, three siblings and their partners are about to go on a journey on a 54-foot yacht to an idyllic island picnic.
Little did they know, this leisure joy cruise would soon turn into something far less pleasant. You are about to embark on the Ubu Radio Psycho Thriller Triangles.
Please be warned, listener. The following audio drama is extremely lurid, with nudity, profane language, violence, and suggestive sexual content. Discretion is most highly advised.
Our tale begins at a dock not far from Seattle. At that moment, the sound was calm. The sails ripple in the light breeze. Beatrice looks at her watch as a car pulls into the lot a couple hundred yards away.
Finally, Charlie would hold us up. It's just like him.
He's only 10 minutes late, B. Give him some slack.
I've done that my entire life, James. That's the problem. Everyone gives him too much slack.
It looks like he brought someone. Not Sally, someone new.
He's seeing a new girl? He didn't tell me.
You know Charlie, always unpredictable.
He brings a stranger on board when we'll be confined to boat quarters for the next 5 hours? He has absolutely no consideration for the rest of the family.
Relax, B. She might be a stranger now, but we'll get to know her, and then she'll be okay. You have James and I have Alfie. It's probably good for him to bring someone.
It's his choice of women that concerns me. Remember when he came to Mother's final birthday party with Morg, Anna? He could at least warn us.
He told me this morning. He raved to me about her. This new girl he's seeing. Evie is her name.
Evie?
That's what he said, Evie.
You know this woman, James?
No, of course not. Why would I know her?
The way you reacted to her name, like you knew her.
Of course not. She's probably some tramp Charlie found at a bar last night.
That's exactly the sort of thing he'd inflict on us. Some tramp picked up on a whim this girl, Evie.
She can't be worse than Morgana.
That's not saying much.
Just be nice to her, sis. Put up with it for a few hours. By the time we get to the island, we'll all be laughing.
Charlie.
Sorry, we're late.
Climb aboard, Charlie. And you must be Evie.
Uh-huh. That's me.
This is my brother, Alfred.
Nice meeting you, Alfred. Or shall I call you Captain? I can't believe how big it is, this boat.
It's only a 54-footer. I'm getting rid of it anyways later this summer. This is the last trip.
The final voyage.
Yeah, I guess it would be that. June, over there is my wife.
Hello, Evie.
And over here is my sister, Beatrice, and her husband, James.
Hi there, Beatrice. James, nice to meet you.
I need to help Alfred with the sale.
How long have you known my brother, Evie?
3 months, maybe four.
4 months? Charlie never told me about it.
We have plenty of time to talk later, Bea. Let me give Evie the grand tour. This way, Evie. Down here through the hatch.
She's not so bad, is she?
Well, we barely know her.
James, undo that cleat and let out the winch on the main sheet. Watch the boom, everyone. Away we go.
The yacht glides through the water. The mainsail, a triangle above, full of wind, pushes them forward across the smooth surface. The land falls away, and then they veer and set course parallel to the shore.
Up here is the bridge.
What a view. You can look down on everyone else.
Best view on the ship.
So this is what it feels like to be the captain, above everyone else and in control.
This wheel steers the boat. It's like driving a car.
Even better than a car. No road, no traffic.
At least we've got calm water.
For now.
You don't think it will hold, Alfie?
Can't trust calm water. Not on a day like this. Not when it's this hot so early in the year. With global warming, the weather becomes more and more unpredictable.
Look at it out there. Nothing but ocean.
Actually, we're still in the sound.
A vast sea of possibilities. And yet, everything is the same. Like one of those minimalist abstract paintings. A solid swath of blue above and a solid swath of gray below that meet at the horizon.
Evie's never been on a boat.
Not a sailboat like this, just the ferry.
I can't believe you're selling her, Alfred.
It's not worth it. I'm lucky if I take her out once a year. Hey, what's she doing? Get down from there.
Evie pulls herself up on the narrow shelf of the dashboard housing and grabs the jib mast to steady herself as she looks down at Charlie and Alfred, her short skirt and dark hair flailing in the breeze.
Even a better view up here, don't you think?
Get down from there before you get hurt.
It's a nice view, Evie, but you're distracting Alfred.
Sorry about that, Alfred.
It's no problem. I didn't want you to get hurt.
It was a bit precarious up there, even with my appetite for danger. Maybe I'll join the women in the front.
It's called the bow. I'll join you soon, darling. So what do you think, Alfred? Isn't she something?
She could have seriously hurt herself climbing up there.
She's a free spirit.
Too much free spirit gets you in trouble. She's perfect for you, Charlie. And I have to admit, Charlie, she's...
Alfred is at a loss for words as he watches the girl make her way toward the deck at the bow, where June and Beatrice sit in lounge chairs.
Look at her up there! She's going to kill herself!
No, look. Charlie's helping her back down.
Not before she gave your husband a good look under her skirt. Why on earth would someone do something like that?
It was nothing. If Charlie likes her, he needs to settle down sometime.
Not with that, I hope. And how can you sit there so calm when she does something like that in front of Alfred?
It's a good thing Alfred was there. If he wasn't, Charlie'd have climbed up there with her.
That's not my point. My point is that she did it right in front of Alfred. She climbs up there while he's at the wheel. She challenged him to look up her skirt.
I don't think she was doing that at all.
Well, I'd keep an eye on her. And Alfred, too. She might dump Charlie and convince Alfred to dump you. You don't realize how these gold brickers work. And when she figures out Alfred has a lot more assets than Charlie?
That's crazy, Beatrice. She's coming this way. Just talk to her. Maybe you'll like her.
James glances over to the bow, where the women are seated in a triangle. His wife, his sister-in-law, and now Evie joins them. Then he heads towards the stern, where Charlie is changing into his bathing suit.
What the fuck, Charlie? Why is she here?
Why not?
You shouldn't have brought her.
You said you wanted to see her again.
Not here. We're all stuck in this tub for the next 5 or 6 hours. Why don't you bring Sally?
Sally's over. Ancient history.
And this one, Evie?
She's amazing.
You can't be serious.
Sure I can.
Bee's ready to rip that girl's eyes out of her face. You know how she's been ever since your mother died.
Why would she act that way? You didn't say anything to her, did you? You didn't tell her.
God, no. Bee can never know. With her sixth sense, you bring Evie here? Where she might spill the beans?
She's not telling her anything right now. Hi, Bee, what's up?
They're smoking a joint over there, June and your friend.
Really?
I don't see why not. I might get in on that.
Go ahead, little brother. She just pulled it out of her purse and lit it up.
If it's okay with June, what's the problem?
Yeah, that was a disappointment from June.
Relax, Bee. We're all here to have a good time.
I'm worried about Charlie. That girl has a bad influence on him.
How do you know? You don't even know her.
Are you defending her?
No, of course not. I know nothing about her.
Well, I can tell what kind of girl she is.
Why don't we go over there and get in on the marijuana?
You can if you want. I'm staying here.
It's gonna be a long boat ride if you act like that.
And whose fault is that? This is just like Charlie. He always does something to fuck things up. James?
Yes, Bee?
Where are you going? James?
Back in a minute. I want to get in on that joint.
You almost never smoke pot. James?
As he walks away, she thinks to herself indignantly.
He's not going over there to smoke pot. He wants to check out that girl again. The way he gave her the up and down when she came aboard, that girl is trouble in every way.
Across the vessel at the bow, June watches Evie light the joint. Evie sucks deeply and passes it to her.
I haven't done this in a while, Evie. How long has it been?
I don't know.
You look the same. I hope you're treating my brother-in-law good.
We have our fun. And you're doing better with Alfie?
We're past that rough patch. He was working out some issues after the death of his mother.
He seems like a good guy. And it's good to see you again, June. You look fucking hot in that bikini.
That's sweet. You to say that, Evie. It's a hot one today. I hope Charlie told you to pack a swimsuit.
Well, in fact, he didn't, and I didn't.
Just like Charlie. Forgets to tell you to bring a bikini. I might have an extra in the cabin.
Why should that stop me?
Evie, what are you doing?
June watches Evie strip off her blouse and skirt. In red lace panties and bra, she pirouettes once in front of June and then sits back down on the deck lounge.
Voila, bikini you like.
You're as crazy as ever, Evie. Here's some lotion.
You want to rub some on me, June?
You are wicked. You rub it on yourself. I won't let you get me in trouble. Not here, not now.
Maybe later?
June draws in a deep breath and pulls her gaze away from Evie and towards the helm. She thinks to herself,
what would Al think if he knew? And Charlie?
Not too long earlier, Alf steers the vessel and his brother Charlie talks to him excitedly.
I gotta tell you, Alf, I love this girl.
When have I heard that before?
No, this time it's real. This one is special. She has me mesmerized and amazed. I could spend my life with her.
That's great, Charlie. You need to settle down sooner or later.
Alfred, you and June will fall in love with her when you get to know her better. You will love, not like...
Like what?
Charlie freezes, his mind still locked on an hour ago, when he and Evie below deck placed their day packs in the berth and collaborated on a strange new gambling game.
My brother?
That's right, Alfred and June.
No way. I mean, Alfred maybe if he was drunk, and he doesn't drink anymore, but June?
So, how much for Alfred?
50.
How about 200 for Alfred?
Well, it's not going to happen, so sure.
And what about June?
No way, that's crazy.
Totally crazy. What would the odds be? 1,000 to 1?
It will never happen. She'd never do that.
666, she will.
You can give it a try, girl. You're on.
And how about for both?
For both?
Together. 3 times for that.
You don't mean...
Triple for a three-way.
Me and June?
No, Charlie. June and Alfred.
No fucking way. No way that would happen, Evie.
I mean, not on this boat, but how long will you give me? A month?
Sure. A month, a decade, a century. What difference does it make? It will never happen.
And what if it happens before this boat ride is done?
That's utterly ridiculous. No way.
Charlie snaps out of his reverie and gives his brother Alfred a pat on the shoulder.
Nothing. This girl has my heart.
I haven't seen you this way in a long time. I'm really happy for you, Charlie.
I think I'll get changed and join the others.
Charlie heads back towards the cabin to get his swimsuit. Later, he walks towards the bow, where Evie and June sit in lounge chairs talking. He overhears June say,
"No more talk about it. Here comes Charlie."
No more talk about what?
Nothing. Just girls talk.
June, are you passing that joint?
Your poor guest forgot her swimsuit. Now she's parading around half naked in her undies.
It's your fault, Charlie. You didn't tell me to bring a swimsuit. He wants me like this. To show me off.
We're on a boat. Who doesn't bring a swimsuit on a boat?
Not everyone's ridden a boat, Charlie. Just because you've had opportunities that others have not.
No one's complaining, are they?
You two act like you know each other.
We met before.
It's a small world, Charlie.
An outside table at a coffee shop. We both sat down at it and started talking, and now, 2 years later...
Who'd think? I'll tell you all about it later, Charlie.
At least you two get along. Ever since we boarded, B has frosted over like ice.
You're surprised? This might be the last time any of us come out here. And it's the first time you, B and Alfie, have gotten together since your mother died.
I don't see what my mother has to do with it.
It's just that she wants this to be family, and she doesn't recognize Evie as family yet.
Well, she better get it through her head. Me and Evie are getting married.
Is that right?
Yes. We haven't told anyone yet.
This is wonderful news.
Hey, I smelled marijuana smoke over here.
I just killed it. We couldn't light up another.
Soon, James sucked hard on the joint and stares out at the shore, 1,000 yards away. His mind is on Evie, in a lounge chair 12 feet away, near naked in red panties and bra, the forbidden fruit. He looks over across the vessel to the stern where Beatrice watches them.
He takes another hit, hands the joint back to Charlie, and walks back to his wife.
You need to listen to me, James. That girl is sick.
Who's feeling sick, B?
That girl who came with Charlie.
She looks healthy enough to me. Not that I was looking at her. She's never been on a boat before.
No, she's sick in the head. Look at her, the way she's flaunting herself on deck like a wanton whore.
Charlie forgot to have her bring a swimsuit. That's Charlie's fault.
She's sick, a real pervert. We need to get her away from Charlie before he becomes one, too.
Unless he already is one.
Don't
joke about this. This is serious, James.
I wasn't joking about it. I just don't think perversion is contagious.
It just might as well be if you say things like that. A bad influence is a bad influence, and poor Charlie doesn't need any more of that. She's probably after his inheritance money. And once he's blown through that...
Seems like he's fine with her. They like each other.
I hope he dumps her soon. She's hiding something.
I don't think she's hiding anything at all. I bet she doesn't have a handgun in her purse.
Let's not get started about the handgun. I do not leave the house without protection.
The only protection one needs is a condom.
James jokes to himself, not that he would ever say it aloud to his wife Beatrice.
Maybe you should relax. Open one of the bottles of wine or have a swig of the bourbon Charlie brought.
You're not listening to me. Smoking that dope has messed you up. Your mind is not clear, James.
Let's just chill. Things will be fine.
What's that you two are drinking?
Charlie brought a couple fifths of the hard stuff.
You want some, Elf?
James, you know he can't drink.
You mean I don't drink, not I can't drink. I can do anything I want.
That's right. You are the captain, which is why you need to do something about that girl.
You mean Charlie's girlfriend, Evie? She seems okay. She's got a rough, wild edge. Charlie really likes her.
That girl will only give Charlie trouble and grief.
That's for them to sort out. Not like Charlie's some kid.
He's our kid brother, Elf. We need to look out for him.
The two are perfect for each other, and hell, she sure looks nice in that bikini.
Shame, Alfred. Maybe I'll tell June you said that. And it's not a bikini. It's her bra and panties. You can see everything, and she might as well be stark raving naked.
His hands over his eyes to avert the sun, Alfred squints over where Evie and June lie on lounge chairs laughing. His eyes linger on the red lace bra, and his mouth drops.
You're right. What a view. At least she gets on good with June. I better see how Charlie's doing at the wheel.
You can at least tell her to put some clothes on.
Or you can go down below and find one of your old swimsuits for her, if it bothers you so much.
Not just me. It bothers James, too. Isn't that right, James? And Charlie must be mortified.
It's Charlie's fault. He forgot to...
I don't care whose fucking fault it is.
James, you mind if she's dressed like that?
No, I just avert my eyes.
What's all the fuss about? Me being mortified?
Beatrice seems to think you're upset that Evie's not wearing a swimsuit.
Why should I be? It's my fault. Besides, I don't mind at all. She has a beautiful body and it doesn't hurt anyone if she likes to show it off.
You don't mind? What is wrong with you, Charles? Her nipples and her pubes are practically exposed to your brother and your brother-in-law and every lecher on every passing craft. And you don't mind?
Let it go, Beatrice. What have you got there, Charlie?
Maker's mark? But you don't want any.
Like hell I don't. Let me have a taste.
Alfred?
One drink isn't gonna hurt. I'd forgotten what that stuff tastes like. Ooh.
Alfred! You are supposed to set an example for Charlie, not let him drag you off the wagon. Listen, Alfie, we need to find a place to drop off that girl. Maybe Headley Cove?
Why? Is she getting seasick?
Why don't you try this bourbon, Bee? It's a very good bourbon.
Charlie, do you really want her down there like that? Advertising her sex to any man like she doesn't care at all about you?
Why are you making a big issue out of this?
It will get sorted out if we all keep our heads. We're here to have a good time, not criticize each other.
None of you see the curse she puts on you.
You hate every one of my girlfriends. You sabotage every relationship I've ever had. Either they're low class, or from the wrong place, or too stupid, or they laugh funny.
Morgana wasn't stupid. She was certifiable mentally retarded. I just try to look out for you, Charlie.
You don't need to look out for me. Just give me some room. Let me breathe.
None of that. You two always argue about shit.
Tell me, Charlie, did I overhear you and the girl talking about sex with other people? She wants to cheat on you?
I don't have to hear this bullshit. At least me and Evie are honest with each other, unlike some people.
Charlie glares at James and stomps away. James puts on a mask of complacency as he seethes inside.
What do you mean by that? Come back here, Charlie. What did he mean by that? James?
Why don't you take a swig off this bottle?
I don't need alcohol.
Hand that over, James. I could use another drink.
Alfred, you're not supposed to drink.
No one told me what to do. I'm the captain.
Maybe go a little easy there, Alfred.
Listen, Alfred. Maybe we can drop the girl off somewhere. Headley Cove, and she can take the bus back to town.
Don't be absurd, Beatrice. We can't do that.
Why not, Alfred? Do you like her flaunting herself on deck in panties and bra? I see the way you leer at her.
Be reasonable, Bea.
Be reasonable? Are you defending her, James?
No, not at all. I'm just thinking about Charlie.
He can get off the boat, too, if he doesn't like it.
I'm the captain, and no one gets kicked off the boat. This isn't some reality television game show.
Then maybe you can let me and James off.
That's not really necessary, B, is it?
Is it? What did Charlie mean by what he said about being honest?
Who knows? He was drunk.
He looked directly at you, James, when he said it.
He wasn't looking at me.
Yes, he was. He looked right at you.
He was at that, wasn't he?
She first came aboard. You acted peculiar. Oh my God. It suddenly becomes clear to me. You know her.
How would I know her?
Why wouldn't you tell me you met that girl? Unless...
I don't know who she is.
You... that girl?
No, I would never.
You slept with that girl, James, didn't you?
He'd never do that. If he cheated on you, B, I'd throw that dirty rat off this boat myself. James would never.
Not unless she seduced him. Oh, God. Cheating on Charlie with Charlie's own brother-in-law? That slut.
No, it never happened, B.
Maybe I should ask the guilty party.
Beatrice stomps off towards the foredeck to confront Evie and Charlie. James puts his face in his hands.
Oh, fuck. Fuck me.
Don't worry about it, James. If you didn't do anything... You didn't do anything, did you, James?
James doesn't answer him. Doesn't look up. He can't erase the fact that 4 days earlier, Evie was in front of him on her hands and knees, with her mouth around his...
It was just a blowjob, that's all it was. But B won't understand that. I am so fucked. This is fucking Charlie's fault. Fuck!
Meanwhile, on the bow...
Looks like things are getting choppy. Must be some kind of bad argument up there.
No, the water! The waves have been getting bigger for the last 10 minutes.
You're right. As if to mirror the arguing, I suppose. This wouldn't be their first family gathering to erupt in conflict.
I just wish it wasn't about me. James' wife hates me.
She doesn't know you.
She doesn't want me here. Maybe you don't want me here either, June.
No, why would I not want to see you again? I missed you.
I missed you too. I missed you this much.
She kisses June full on the lips. Memories of the hotel room in Portland flood back, and June can't resist for several moments before she pushes Evie away.
Not now, not here. You better sit back down.
We'll see each other a lot. Now we're family.
Yes, and we'll always have Portland.
We'll always have Portland.
Now here comes Charlie.
Charlie, what's wrong?
My damn sister!
He stands at the front of the boat and stares out at the water for several minutes. Then he turns and joins the two women in the lounge chairs.
I'm really sorry about this, Evie.
It's not your fault.
Hi, B. What's wrong?
What's wrong? That little whore seduced my husband. She cheated on you, Charlie. I'm going to strangle her.
And then she's on top of me, her hands around my neck as she straddles my hips. I grab hold to yank her off, but rip off her bathing top instead.
You'll never destroy another family. You'll never poison another good man. Red shrieks in front of my eyes. Her face in panic, her body writhes beneath me.
Charlie and June pull Beatrice off Evie. For a moment, she's confused. She stares at her hands and then at her brother and her sister-in-law. She covers her naked breasts and steps back, sits down in her chair.
She grabs her purse and clutches it over her chest.
Don't try that again, Bea. That's not the way it happened. I was there.
You were there? And you let it happen?
We were hanging out, drinking. One thing led to another.
One thing does not lead to another. We're three adults are having sex together. This sick woman must have instigated it. James would have never participated in a thing like that.
It wasn't my idea, but I can't say I didn't enjoy it.
Whose idea was it for you to sleep with my husband?
Why don't you ask Charlie?
Charlie?
It wasn't her idea at all. Please, Beatrice, let's all calm down and... What the fuck?
Beatrice jumps up from the chair. The purse drops from her hands as she pulls out the handgun and points it in between Evie and Charlie.
Put that away, Bea, before someone gets hurt.
My own brother. How could you do this to me, Charlie?
You really want to know what happened? It wasn't Evie and it wasn't me. James kept badgering me about her. And sure, we were happy to go along with it, but James was the one that instigated it.
That's a lie. You guys are into that kinky stuff, not me. I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing.
You were lying, James. And if you were that drunk, you would have passed out. And you certainly wouldn't have allowed yourself to participate, even if it wasn't your idea.
Please, Bea, put away the gun and put on a top, too.
Drop the gun, Bea.
No! I want answers from James! How many other times have you lied to me?
Alfred, shouldn't someone be behind the wheel?
Drop the gun, Beatrice!
Get away from me, Alfred! You make me nervous.
Oh, fuck! I'm hit!
Get off me!
Give me that gun! Oh, fuck!
Charlie, no!
Look what you've done, Bea!
Me? You're blaming me?
Watch out for that boom, Alfie!
In his drunken state, Alfred starts to comprehend what June shouts at him an instant before the side of his head is smacked hard by the 150-pound boom as it swings from starboard to lee.
His head gushing blood, Alfred falls across the rail and over the side of the yacht as it lurches violently.
James! Alfred! Charlie!
Beatrice stumbles to her feet. James lies in a pool of blood behind her on the deck. Evie is huddled over Charlie, and a few feet away from them, June is sprawled across the deck, unconscious.
No! Get away from him! Get away from my brother!
June, wake up. June, Charlie's been shot.
They're all dead! Just you and me. No one else.
He needs help, Bea. Put down the gun.
Beatrice's finger tightens on the trigger. Evie on her knees puts her hands in front of her as if to block the bullet. The vessel pitches again as the sail lurches back around. A line catches Beatrice's leg. The gun fires. The bullet penetrates flesh at point-blank range.
No!
Beatrice falls backwards and her head hits the sharp edge of a cleat with a sickening thud. And then she's on the deck, on her back. The blood pools out around her face like a halo of a saint in a very old painting. More blood at her hand, which dangles half off her arm.
Evie clutches the rail, and the yacht lurches again. She clambers back over to Charlie's body.
I'm the only one alive, and I have no idea how to drive this thing. If I don't drown from the boat capsizing, I'll be arrested for murdering everyone else aboard.
She cradles Charlie and closes her eyes. She wants the nightmare to go away. She clutches at Charlie as the sea throws the yacht around like a toy.
Evie? Evie?
Let me take a look at him. Hold this over his wound, Evie. I don't think he's seriously hurt. Hold this on him tight. I have to stabilize the yacht.
Evie, you're there.
Yes.
What happened?
Just hang in there, Charlie.
Someone needs to help her with the sails.
Oh, my head.
Alfie?
Why didn't anybody throw me a buoy? Lucky I grabbed a loose line.
He pulls himself over the rail and collapses on the deck.
Evie continues to press down on the wound as she thinks to herself.
Is this really happening? Maybe I'm imagining this. The mind plays tricks to escape grim reality. Maybe they're all dead and I'm alone on the deck?
Charlie?
Evie? Are you there? I want you, Evie.
His hand on her back, he pulls her down on top of him. Above them, the triangles of the yacht's mainsail and jib luff violently, grasping futile in the wind.
Has been an Ubu Radio Theater Hour presentation of the psychodrama Triangles. Triangles was written by Rolf Semprebon and performed by Martin.
Conch?
Demi.
Rolf.
Larry.
Abigail Sloan.
Ken.
Becky.
KBOO, and this is the Ubu Hour. We got another 12 minutes to go, and then Joe Woods is up with Tiki Cha Cha Club, so stay tuned to Community Radio.
We understand each other, right?
We're getting rid of him. I don't give a shit. I'm
shut
not gonna stand
up. Just shut up! Shut up and listen to me for once!
Gotcha, smoke.
As soon as we announced he was taking over the advanced stopper, and that took less than a day. Shit about a preview. Nothing matters until that old bat from the New York Times is sitting on that audience opening night.
We're getting rid of him. I don't give a shit. I'm not gonna stand up.
Just a little bit, just a little.
I'm not cutting it.
But it looks
as soon
so
as we announced he was taking over the advanced double, we meant to less than a day.
Oh, would I?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are the hottest.
Keep going.
You on your gorgeous, thick, long hair.
Continue.
I just fucking love the way it's long.
¿Qué pasó?
Nada.
¿Qué pasó?
Nada.
Are you a disappointment? Are you a disappointment?
1 hour till curtain?
Yeah.
Why don't you try to rest a little bit?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, I can.
Please,
I'm
ready.
I can hurry.
Good.
Thank you.
Go.
I'll be fine.
Poor creature. Is it true?
Where are you guys based out?
Yeah.
Everywhere.
In the new
last
post.
Last weekend we were in New Zealand for 24 hours.
You're an asshole, Jake.
Wow. How was that, Jeff?
We don't sleep.
Hey, it's a big mistake, Rock. You know you fly around the world first class.
For fuck's sake, just jump already.
How do you know it yet?
Well, I didn't know. I'm
too late.
I once got offered a
Leslie's DJ.
Not like a house, but I don't know how to write it. It's not, but it's like Oprah. No. Hallmark. R. Kelly, no. Dad.
I wasn't.
I think that's
the next person
Martin
in the circle.
Martin.
Can you see?
No.
What are you saying?
There's an E up there. Okay.
Yeah, that's the old. Yeah, there's a couple of E's.
And blue first. I'll just start over. Okay.
Did you make that up, Ralph? That TV calls?
Yeah, I just kind
of. Oh, that's good.
It. Yeah.
That should become a word.
Yeah.
It has.
Oh, you
already have.
Just now.
I heard it's a new thing.
Underestimate his tremendous.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
True.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll be the dictionary tomorrow.
Likely.
This has been the Ubu American Patriarchy Idiot Show. I mean, American Patriot Show.
In a few minutes, it will be midnight. The 4th of July will be over. So put away your damn fireworks and go to bed.
What about the fireworks I'm saving for bed?
You, dear listener, have survived another episode of the Ubu Hour Radio Theater Show.
For which it stands, one nation under
tune in at 11 p.m. every Monday night on KBOO for the Radio Theater Hour. The second Monday of the month, it will be Sub-Intellect Human Theater.
Oh, shit.
The third Monday gives you the Gremlin Time, and on the fourth Monday, it's Sudden Rerun Radio Project.
Probably.
And the Ubu Hour returns on the first Monday of August with all new material.
All new material. Let me repeat, all new material. But if you can't wait until then, you can catch previous episodes on the web. Just go to kboo.fm
and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U, our.
And we'll see you next month. Thank you for listening.
And that's a wrap. Another half minute of music, and then it will be time for Joe Wood and his tacky cha-cha club.
Tiki Cha-Cha Club.
Significantly fried this morning? Or is it the same thing every morning?